This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Very good. Pleasant Saturday morning to you. The sun is out. That's an unusual occurrence over the past several weeks, it seems. But it's a nice day to get out and about, and it's certainly going to be a nice day and a great day for hockey on what is a hockey day in Pittsburgh. And Mike Lang will be remembered very fondly today before the game. And just a reminder, that game today is a 3:20 start with the Washington Capitals. They're asking you to get, if you're going to the game, get there early because they have a wonderful presentation and a tribute to the late, great Mike Lang coming up. And then the hockey season returns. And the Penguins start back-to-back games with very little break here after the Four Nations, especially for a guy like Sidney Crosby. And it's Pittsburgh, Washington, then Pittsburgh, New York Rangers tomorrow. They come to town back-to-backers and very important ones for the Penguins, who have about six teams to hurdle before they get to the second wild card, which currently is occupied by Detroit. And they have to, you know, the point difference is only six, but the games necessary to win and jump over, again, you got to take into account how many teams are battling for the same thing. So you're not going to have everyone just collapse around you. Teams will win, some will lose. You better keep winning. And that's where the Penguins find themselves. It will be interesting to see, you know, what they're going to look like today after 2 weeks off, basically, except for the guys who played in this Four Nations. And Sidney Crosby was listed as a game-time decision just because of everything he's gone through. They celebrated with champagne the other night, so maybe there's a little bit of a hangover after that winter. Why not? Canada wins another international competition, and Sidney Crosby remains undefeated in those situations. And what a game that was. In fact, if you look at the ratings, and it took a while for them to come out, it's the most watched hockey game I can track in like 30 years with a 10.7 million fans watching it, which goes to show you that, you know, anything you do internationally in hockey is well received. It always has been. And then you wonder, is there a carryover? Will that improve and boost ratings for regular season games like what we have today and like what we have tomorrow? I hope it does, but I'm not so sure it does, just because that's a different dynamic, which is why they were smart to do it, which is why they should do it again. I'm not sure how frequently you can do it again because it is a physical taxing toll on some of these players. They do have the World Cup of Hockey, which begins in 2028, and they do have Olympics, which begin in 2026, and they're going to be back in them in Milan, Italy for the Winter Olympics. So that'll be fun to do, and those things always do get big ratings. So we'll see. And, you know, this was done to try to grow the game, try to bring people outside of the, you know, hardcore hockey fans into the game. And, man, I think it accomplished that. Now, will it translate into more people in games, more ratings for television? I don't know. Normally, that doesn't happen. We'll see what happens. Certainly, postseason, when that starts, best of seven, there's a lot of interest in those games and in those teams. But if you're looking at hockey markets, it probably led the way in this rating bonanza of 10.7 million. I would bet it's Pittsburgh. I would bet it's Boston. Well, Boston should be. Nate the Great Haluschek's behind the glass there. Nate, let me ask you something. If you had the top five hockey markets for this, and I'm just guessing, I'm trying to figure out, I know Buffalo would be in there because they always are in there. They're hockey starved. They want to win. They follow their hockey. I would say Pittsburgh, Boston, because it was the host city, right? You would think, although Boston, the Celtics were playing a lot, and they're very good, defending champs. I go Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Detroit, Boston. What other city am I missing here? Chicago? New York? I don't know. What do you think?
I think you pretty much hit them all right there. Maybe New York City just because of there's so many people there. But, yeah, I think you got the big ones.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the Penguins and what they must do. We're going to talk about a lot of things today. And we'll do it up until 1:45, which is when Pitt pregame takes over. And that's another topic today. The Pitt Panthers will be at Notre Dame. That's a 2:15 tip-off, and they need to win out, quite frankly, in my view, after where they are at 16 and 10, I should say, overall record, a 7-8 in the ACC. And these teams are playing coming up, including Notre Dame, are not very good. I think the Irish are 5-10 in ACC play, so I don't care where you play that game, you got to win it, given some of the losses they've had. The one that stands out is Virginia at home by 20. That's a killer loss when you're a team that's approaching the bubble and needs to win these kinds of games. So no margin for error for Pitt. That'll take place today at 2:15 right here on The Fan. I want to remind you that the Fan text line is also available to you at 412-928-9370, same as the call-in line. And it's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Tomorrow, coming up, KDK-TV, 11:35. It's the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. We have a lot to get into with the panel. That includes tomorrow night Andrew Filippone, Mark Cabali, and Jason Mackey. 412-928-9370 is the number here. Love to talk to you about the Four Nations, about the Penguins moving forward, what you expect. Is there a carryover? Can they reap a ratings bonanza in regular season games? Or is it just a international theme that's going to draw people to watch these kinds of games? It was very physical. It was, and I had my doubts about it at the first, just because I thought, okay, these guys are going to play. I don't know. All the best players, they're not going to wipe people out, trying to guard against injuries. But, man, there were a lot of injuries. And there are people going to miss some time. Groin injury for Matthew Tkachuk. I'm not sure how long that sidelines him for the Florida Panthers, who are in a battle right now. Shea Theodore from the Vegas Golden Knights, he's out. He has what looks like he had a sling on, so I don't know what it means. But these are injuries that will impact the regular season for these teams. But they were willing to allow players to play. Players wanted to play. But I didn't know that it would be this physical. I honestly thought there may be some, just lack of it. But we saw in Montreal when the USA got into fights right off the bat what that was going to be like. There were some physical checks. I've never seen Connor McDavid on his butt as much as I did in this series of games. I also think Sidney Crosby continues to be what he is and just a leader of this nation, Canada. The way he plays, the way he leads, the way he does everything. First game, he was the MVP of the game, the star of the game. Even in the game the other night where he got walloped in center ice, got up and immediately shot the puck into an open net. Things like this are just what he means, even though he is not, at this point, the top guys on that team. That would be Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon, who was the MVP of the entire tournament for Canada. So good stuff there at 412-928-9370. Can the Penguins dig out? Can the Penguins get themselves into a situation where they're going to be playoffs this year? They've missed it 2 years in a row. They got a very difficult assignment coming up this weekend, and they got to win both games, in my view, and try to chew away at some of this deficit here. And can it happen? Sure, it can happen. But, what will it take? So many questions about what Kyle Dubas must do. The deadline coming up is March the 7th for trades. What does he do? He's made a couple. Will he make more? And who will go and who will come? And what's the strategy there? Let's say they get hot a little bit here and win and put themselves in a position too. Does he try to add on? Or does he stick to trying to slightly rebuild this roster? How do you see it at 412-928-9370? Again, Pitt coming up. I want to give a shout-out to Robert Morris and Tool Time, Andy Tool. They continue to be the best story of college basketball here locally. 21-8 now, 13-5 in their conference with a win last night. So if you're betting on any team that can get to the NCAA tournament this year, it might be Robert Morris is the best bet. We'll also get into a theme that's carried throughout. And quite frankly, it's getting a little tiresome just because there haven't been much news. But we're getting to the combine portion of the NFL season. So a lot of people have thoughts about what the Steelers might be looking to do, what their offseason plan is. They have people who are, in need of contracts. This is typically the time you do it. That would include George Pickens. That would include T.J. Watt. How do you stand on that at 412-928-9370? Let's go to the lines. That's what we're here to do, talk with people who love sports like Scott in Aliquippa. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Pomp. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Hey, I want to kind of do a thing in the Wayback Machine here. I used to live out in Seattle on the West Coast. And back in the mid-2000s, I remember on the station out there, they interviewed Mike Holmgren. And he said that the one big regret that he had as a coach was that he didn't get young players on the defense, and as he put it, just let them just wind them up and let them go. Yeah, you know, he knew they were going to make mistakes, but he also knew that if he coached them up the right way, they were going to do that. And within like 3 years of them doing that, they got Red Bryant, they got
Fred Warner,
Trufant, was he part of that? Marcus Trufant, okay, and then they wound up facing the Steelers in the Super Bowl.
So oh, like that, you're going back all the way to that.
Him
okay.
saying that they were in the Super Bowl. Now, I don't know if Tomlin wants to go ahead and do that, but you know what? I don't think it's really a bad influence to listen to someone like a Mike Holmgren. I mean, going like I said, going way back here, but he was a damn good defensive coach, defensive-minded coach. So if the Steelers want to stick in that, I think they need to focus. And you had mentioned about how deep the draft is with D-line and defense. I think that's where they need to go. I'll take your thoughts off the air. Thanks a lot.
All right, Scott. Thank you. Well, and the only scenario that goes against what you said is the fact that they've dumped a lot of money into their defense over the last several years. And apparently they're going to have to do that again with even more. Guys like Watt, if they retain him, which I suspect they will, it's going to cost more money there. They're paying high salaries to Cam, to Minka Fitzpatrick. Joey Porter down the road will need more money. The cap's going up by $22 million, so there is more for that. But as far as the draft is concerned, yes, you do need defensive linemen. Yes, it is deep. Yes, that would be a big consideration for me. But also, you have to upgrade your offense for a team that struggles to score points and gives the defense opportunities to have maybe just an average day and still win. You know what I mean? When they're on the field as much as they've been on the field, that's where things wear down. An offense that can sustain possessions, that can make big plays when necessary, that could strike quickly, they don't have a lot of that outside of George Pickens. If I see a wide receiver in this first round that really intrigues me, you know, I could be very tempted to do it. Again, I don't know their plan. I know that Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan will have a joint press conference before they get into the draft, and I think Omar will speak at the combine and tell you some things, but they're not going to reveal all their secrets. But they got to figure out a strategy to get better with this offense. And it starts with quarterback, of course. They got to figure out that play. They have to do that sooner rather than later. And how much money they're going to allocate to it. What's their plan? I don't foresee them signing someone in free agency. There are too much risk involved in that in terms of guys like Sam Darnold, who's going to want $40 million, and I don't know what to think of him. He was outstanding for Minnesota last year until it got to crunch time, and he wasn't. But his offensive line failed him as well. So you can do that. They're older veterans. I don't want to deal with them anymore. I think they have to figure out a plan to get the next franchise quarterback. It's a multi-year plan, I'm sure, which is why I go Justin Fields and start there. I'd do a two-year deal with him if I could, see what I got, see where he can elevate his game, and if not, then I redraft the position next year. That would be my strategy. I'm not sure what theirs is, but I do respect what you said there, Scott, about the defense. And, you know, Philadelphia showed you when you have – people dominate the line of scrimmage, it can make life miserable for the other team, regardless of how talented that other team is. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We also have Pirate Baseball, just for those of you interested in listening to the first game. It's against Baltimore at Ed Smith Stadium today at 1 o'clock. You can hear that one on KDKA AM. It'll air there. And the Pirates did make a signing, and I do think this is interesting, only for what it offers potentially after. 33-year-old Andrew Haney, he's a left-handed pitcher and a guy who has been known as an innings eater. They signed him to just a one-year deal over $5 million. He's been around, but he also has some high-leverage games and innings that he's pitched in with the Dodgers and the Texas Rangers, won a world championship there, and has appeared in, I don't know, 5 to 8, whatever it is, postseason games, big-time World Series games. So they brought him in. That solidifies their starting rotation. Two lefties and Bailey Falter and him. I have no problem with that. Top three, of course, Skeens, Jones, and Keller. So does this pave the way for a trade to acquire a bat, a much-needed bat? They need more than one bat, by the way, but they need bats. What do they do now? They have some blue-chip pitching prospects in their minors. Would Ben Cherington move on from any of those? Would he be willing to trade Bubba Chandler? Would he be willing to trade Thomas Herrington or Brandon Ashcraft or whomever to get bats? Sometimes you need to give up precious commodities in your system to get what you really need. And what they really need are bats. I suspect because of their starting rotation, they're going to be in a lot of games. And it's going to be competitive until 6th, 7th, 8th inning. You're going to need some key hits. Who provides those for the Pirates right now? You would count on, I would imagine, Brian Reynolds and O'Neill Cruz. That's about it at this point that I see. Can Joey Bart sustain what he started last year here? Hopefully, yes. What about Henry Davis? Why isn't Henry Davis being mentioned anywhere, really? As I said yesterday on our Pomp and Joe show, I hope that he gets a lot of at-bats in the spring and he lights it up. And I want to see what they do because they need his bat to come to life. They need him to come to life, and they need to figure out a way to get him in this lineup every single day. 412-928-9370 is the number to call, so we have open phone lines until 1:45 today. Give us this call on a beautiful Saturday if you're driving around and you have some thoughts about any of these topics and more. I'd be honored to entertain them right here. It's the Bob Pompiani Show on a Saturday in Pittsburgh on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Bob Pompiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Again, a reminder to join us tomorrow on the number one Cochrane Sports Showdown, KDKA-TV. We present the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call every single night, 7 nights a week on KDK Plus and right here on The Fan on many nights. Nate Aluschek is with me, and this is the time of year, Nate, when you look outside and it's sunny and you start daydreaming a little bit because there's nothing really new going on in any of these sports. But I do want to talk about Four Nations. If you want to call 412-928-9370, you can do that. The Penguins' plight, whatever you want to talk about is fine. But this is also a time when we talk about what potentially could happen, what potentially needs to happen for the Pirates to do something. Now, this will immediately be shot down by just about everyone, but it doesn't mean it can't happen. It means they would be unwilling to make it happen, and maybe the person I'm just going to mention here may not be willing to come here. However, the Toronto Blue Jays have tried, but they have failed to come to terms on a contract extension with their heavy-hitting first baseman, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He's only 25 years old. Now, if you look at his season last year, he hit .329. With 30 home runs, he drives in over 100 all the time. He's a 40 home run guy potentially. Again, he's only 25. He's a free agent after this season. He could be traded at the trade deadline if Toronto falls out of it. So he could be a rental for somebody. But the question is, given the escalating prices, how much will it cost? But you brought something to my attention, which I thought was very interesting, Nate. And the Pirates have had a severe lack of power for many, many years. I think we all know that. But tell me how long it's been since they've had, you know, a legitimate 40 home run, 120 RBI kind of guy.
Yeah, so 40 home runs is kind of like the plateau to be considered, I guess, like a power hitter. But the last time that the Pirates had a player that hit 40 or more home runs was 1973.
Willie.
1973. Willie Stargell hit 44 home runs. It's been
52
years.
Think about that. 52 years, not one per now. A couple of guys came close at 36. But yeah, so they haven't had that, which translates to what?
Which also, every other Major League Baseball team has had one since 2004. The Giants are second behind the Pirates. So literally, the Pirates haven't had one in this millennia. That's gonna probably obviously not bode well for them.
No, you can't win if you don't have some bats that can produce power in this day and age, especially.
Not one guy in 50 years.
Are there any other teams that have the same situation? What would be the next team after the Pirates not to
have the Giants? Some? 2004 was the last time that they had a 40.
Yeah, but that's
40...
not 52 years.
No, it's 21.
And it's Barry Bonds, I bet, right?
It's Barry Bonds, Yep.
All right, so here's the thing. Listed as potential teams that may be willing to get into this would be the Cincinnati Reds. Now, you're going to tell me the Cincinnati Reds, similar to Pittsburgh, if they would be willing to pay for Vlad Guerrero Jr., why wouldn't the Pirates be willing to pay? Again, I cite this only because he's 25. They have never had a first baseman consistently for how many years? They haven't had anyone in 52 years hit a 40 home run season. It's a missing element. And Guerrero is the kind of guy who can change things in a hurry. Now, if you're looking at numbers here, again, last year, 30 home runs, 100-plus RBIs, 200 hits, .323 average, whatever. He's very reliable that way. 25 years old. The asking price probably is going to be in the $350 million total package range. But before you tell me that it's impossible and it'll never happen, and you are right, it will never happen, but again, that's a choice. Why couldn't you add on a guy who's going to make $40 million a year to a payroll right now that is less than last year's? So even with $40 million added to it, that brings you out to about $110 million total. That's if you add a guy making $40 million a year. So sure, would that be uncomfortable for Bob Nutting? Yes. But can it be done? Absolutely yes. The problem is they're not willing to do it, I wouldn't imagine. But why wouldn't you? I would want him at if he were 32, I'd say absolutely not. This is a 25-year-old guy who's going to command a lot of money, and I know Boston and New York and L.A., and they're all going to come, you know, the price may be driven up because of it. But why wouldn't you at least entertain these thoughts? Would you? And if Toronto wants, for example, you could trade for him right now if you want, even for this year, would you be willing to give up Bubba Chandler, somebody else, whatever, to get him?
If they spent the $50 million you're talking about and jumped up to 110, that would only put them 21st, the 21st highest payroll in Major League Baseball.
That's what I mean.
Not even that big of a jump.
It's not. It would be, again, it sounds crazy, and the Pirates have conditioned you to think that they'll never make plays like this, where they will nickel and dime you with the $2 million, the $4 million, the $5 million one-year deals to everyone. But if you put, even if it got to $50 million a year, who cares? What he would do to ignite a fan base that needs to be ignited with Paul Skeens out there and a pitching staff that could win, and a guy you surround him by O'Neill Cruz and Reynolds and whomever else you have out there, that would be huge. But again, I dream. It's a beautiful day. I look outside. I see sun glistening off of treetops. I think of what might have been, or what could be, or what might never be. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Rick in Cheswick, who has a thought on this. Hello, Rick. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, Bob, the only thing that I have a problem with, the Pirates get a big-time bat. That's great. But if you're not going to put him, if you're not going to put other guys around him, they just won't pitch to him. And he won't be able to get his swings in that he needs to get.
You don't think Vlad Guerrero can help a guy like O'Neill Cruz or Brian Reynolds by his presence in the lineup?
Yes, yes. But I'm talking about, are they going to pitch to Vlad Guerrero?
Well, so what?
That's what they're not going to do.
I mean, get on base, you could do a lot of things. I'm just saying they need a young stud at first base. He okay, could be available. Okay. My question for you, Rick, is if you were Bob Nutting, this does not alter your payroll all that much. You go, as Nate just said, you jump up to $110 million, is that what? Total,
right.
Even if you paid him $50 million a year.
Well, every Pirate fan is going to say yes to that. But the only person that has the right to say yes or no is Nutting. And you know what? I'm losing interest with the Pirates because he's happy to make money. And you know what? The baseball teams, football teams, all these people that own these teams, it's supposed to be fun money for them. It's supposed to be an ego trip to be a championship
exactly.
team.
And they have the money to do
Nutting.
It. They're going to make money even if they brought that in. Maybe, you know, the profit margin may not be as big, but how about if they win?
Right.
How about if they get to a wild card status because of a guy like Vlad Guerrero? And I know I dream, but so what? This is the time to think about it. Why not?
And how about if they get me to come back to the stadium 15 times a year?
That's
how
right.
about that?
How about an investment helping you make more money? Even if it's a big investment, it can help you make more money.
I don't think they're going to do it.
No,
and you know what?
We can
dream about it. But just like most players for the Pirates, you got to have more than one bat. You know, and I know you're saying Reynolds and O'Neill Cruz. That's fine, but you need to have some guys that are going to protect each other. You know, you just say, I just won't pitch to him. So instead of hitting 40 home runs, maybe he hits 18. You say, he's terrible. But basically, if they don't pitch to him, he can't swing at pitches that aren't strikes and hit it out of the park.
No, I hear you. I just say the need for a first baseman, especially who can hit with power like this, it's available if they want to gander. They won't. But thank you for the call, Rick. I appreciate it.
Right.
And I understand your point. A bat like that makes everyone else better. They should get better pitches to hit. Larry is on the line right now in Katanning. Hello, Larry.
Hey, listen. I don't know who has the brains of positioning players, but the Pirates can make one position move that would benefit the whole team. Put Cruz on first. He's tall. He's an infielder. He can ground balls. Put him on first so he can reach these balls that are out of play, and you're going to have your first baseman. And they could platoon center field with a bunch of guys. I just want to hear your opinion.
I'd rather do what I said and try to investigate a big-time hitting first baseman and keep Cruz where he is. I think Cruz is going to be fine in center field. I do.
Bob, they had their chance. They're not going to do it. You got to move within.
He looks comfortable in center field. I don't have a problem with that.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
He's more comfortable in the infield. first base.
He made a lot of errors at shortstop. I'm just saying, I just need to get his bat in there, and if it means he can cover a lot of ground with that antelope type speed of his, he could be fine in center field. So I hear what you're saying. It's because they don't have a first baseman. Every year there's a new stretch. Who's going to play first base? This year it's going to be Horwitz when he gets back. But is that an answer? I don't know. Likely not, and they'll be searching again. So right. I would rather go for a big fish in a very small pond. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate that. Mike in Pittsburgh is up next. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Good, Bob. How you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. To jump on to a little bit on the last caller, let's just assume that they sign them and whatever, $40-50 million. What do they do with the rest of the roster? You get a massive upgrade at first base and a great player, but if they don't upgrade the rest of the roster, does it really make that much of a difference to the Pirates contending?
Yes. Yes, absolutely yes. One bat can change a lot of things. And again, you make it sound like they wouldn't be able to do it. That would bring their payroll to $110 million. That's not even in the top.
No, I'm saying that they could do it. Let's just assume that they did it. What happens to the rest of the roster? And
what do you mean?
You're thinking, Vlad, it's the thing that can get them to the playoffs, that one player would get them to the playoffs.
With his pitching staff, yes, I think it could have an enormous impact. Yes. I mean, you have a lineup that has Reynolds, Cruz, Vlad Guerrero,
Nick Gonzalez,
Joey Bart, whatever. You can still get, and I'm still hoping Henry Davis has some pop somewhere along the line where they could utilize him. But I'm saying you got to have guys who can provide a lot of power at a key position, and they haven't had that in decades, and they haven't had a 40 home run hitter in 52 years. And it wouldn't break any bank. That's the thing that makes me just go crazy sometimes. It would not alter really anything that they do. It shouldn't. They have the wherewithal to do it. They make $50 million plus a year, even when they're in last place. All right, Mike. Thanks. Anything else?
No. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. I'm daydreaming. I know. This is what happens at this time of the year. Ken in South Park is up next right here on the Pop Pompiani Show. Hello, Ken. How are you?
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, if they were to, even make the payroll $150 million, even with Rowdy Chiles' first base, they still made money, and the fans went nuts. Just imagine if they were, a contender.
Well, that's what I would be doing. If I were a man in charge, if I'm the owner, I'm saying to myself, I have to invest in my product. And if I do more investing in my product, the product may make more money for me. And not only that, but it gives me a chance with a guy like Paul Skeens and Jared Jones and Mitch Keller and a pitching staff I like. It gives them a chance to win close games. Whereas without a bat like this, you wouldn't be able to win. They might, who knows? They're going to be in a lot of games. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. They're going to be in a lot of close games all season long. One bat, one play can make a huge difference. So, all right, Ken, thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We have to take a break. Back with more as we daydream about what the Pirates could do, but probably won't do. Four Nations Tournament, what's your thought? We'll also talk about the Penguins as they get ready for the second half of the season against the Capitals with a Mike Lang tribute today before the game at 3 o'clock. So if you're on your way to that game or soon, make sure you get in your seats early to watch that. And as they memorialize one of the best to ever do it in Mike Lang. And it's such a sad thing to see him. And my buddy John Burnett passed away this week, too, at age 71. It goes to show you, too, ladies and gentlemen, that time is moving fast. You got to enjoy the times you have. So please do that with your family, your friends, and anyone else, and don't take it for granted. 412-928-9370. It's the Bob Pompiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7. All right, we're back. Bob Pompiani, Nate Haluschek behind the glass. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We've been daydreaming a little bit about what the Pirates might be able to do. Won't do, but maybe should do, about Vlad Guerrero. It's just one of those names out there. He's reaching point of no return in Toronto. 1 year left on a contract, free agent after this season. Bidding would be high, but even at $50 million a year, it would not alter really where the Pirates' payroll goes. It elevates them, certainly, but it would still be below the St. Louis Cardinals if you factor what they're spending now and add $50 million to it. It doesn't really change all that much. They'll move up to the top 15 payrolls. So it's doable if they want to do it. Likely won't do it, but what it would mean, I think to, you know, jumpstart a fan base, a team, everything would be significant. He's only 25 years old, so why not? 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We're talking about that as the Pirates get underway today. Not sure what Spencer Horwitz's situation is in terms of rehab. He was supposed to be the starting first baseman after they traded Luis Ortiz to get him. However, he had that injury and you know, surgery or whatever he had, and now it's going to be a while. He's going to need some time once he gets back, and he's not back yet. So you wonder if he's going to be there on opening day. 412-928-9370. Luke joins us right now in Freedom, PA. What's up, Luke?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. What's going on?
So, I mean, my big question coming into this year is, and it's a good question to have, if Joey Bart continues doing what he's been doing with the bat last year, he looks like the guy that the Giants were looking at, like a, you know, quality major league catcher. Who do we look at as the backup catcher? Who has the inside track on that this year? Is it Endy coming off of, you know, that kind of lost season last year because he has the glove? And then we use that time in the minors for Henry Davis to try to learn defensive flexibility. But the problem with that is he doesn't have anything left to prove with the bat down there. He needs major league at bat. So they're kind of in a position, a good position, right, to have options. But I just think, do you roll with the glove with Endy, who doesn't have anything left to prove down there, or do you keep Henry Davis up here to try to get the bat figured out, but know that he doesn't have really a defensive home and he needs more consistent at bat?
Well, if his bat comes to life, I would make him my DH. I understand Andrew McCutchen's on the team, but he would have to take a back seat to Henry Davis. I have a number one overall pick invested in him. I need him to be what he can be. We'll use Andrew when it's time. We'll move things around, whatever the case may be, if his bat is alive. Number two, Andy Rodriguez still has to prove that he's okay from his injury. I want to see that because I do think the guy has a lot of upside there. He would be the answer. Do they still have the human rain delay there? Jason DeLay, is he on the roster?
I don't think he has any options left.
All right. Well, I mean, they have potential people there. But, you know, Joey Bart, the good thing, he showed that he can be what he once was, I think, a second overall pick. And if you can – and that's probably the best trade that Ben Cherington has made. If you can get him to be your everyday catcher and he can hit 20 home runs, he showed some pop last year, that would be the answer for starter. After that, it would just depend on how things work during the spring. But as I said, Luke, what I'd like to see is Henry Davis just mash the ball this spring and see what they do with him.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the easiest solution, right? And that's why I love Kutch, but I just don't think he's a fit for this team. That wasn't a transaction that I think made a lot of sense for where this team is at and what we need. I mean, we do need bats, but we don't need DH-only type players at this point. I think.
Yeah, and listen, that was a nostalgic play right there for them, and he's meant so much to this franchise. He's got a place in their Hall of Fame. He's just been the face of it. I get it. But, and he's been, honestly, if you look at last year, probably one of their better hitters. But you still need more out of a DH position. You got to have a lot of power in that position. Somebody else, you know, that's why I would defer him. Davis is still a key to me. It sounds like most people have already written him off, like he's not going to be able to do anything here. And if that's the case, that's just a mistake. It's too young. I want to work that he gets a chance. And they brought in a new hitting coach. We'll see what that means. It could change him around.
Yeah, and the fact is, he has nothing left to prove in the minor leagues. He's raked this whole way up. It's just a matter of getting him consistent major league at bats. The only reason I would consider not having him on the roster, like I said, would just be to try to get him some defensive flexibility. But I don't know if that type of profile is really valuable as a catcher, but I don't know if that's going to play down the defensive spectrum as a first baseman or something along those lines. So.
Yeah, I know it's a sort of a conundrum for them trying to figure out where these pieces go, but I think to start the season anyway with Horwitz out, there is an opening at first base for somebody, so we'll see what they do with that. Thanks, Luke. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
412-928-9370 number to call here as we continue to go along, and we'll talk about the Four Nations again. I think it's important to realize how many people watch that thing and what it means for hockey in general. My take on that is. 10.7 million people viewed it, most in 30 years. international hockey has a different vibe, and I think people liked it. Plus, the time of the year, there was not much else going on. So if you were intrigued by what you saw, you kept watching. Will it translate into better ratings for NHL regular season games? My thought would be no. But that's just the way it is until things ramp up in the postseason, and that's what has to happen. You got to get to postseason hockey and see if it has an impact there, because I think in regular season, you know, again, we're getting to the point where spring's happening. There will be a lot of people out there, a lot of day games in hockey, and I don't think it really translates all that well into a ratings bonanza for them in regular season games. Bob is in Rochester, and he's on the fan right now. What's up, Bob?
Hey, I'd like to know throughout the league what the power standings are in making a profit.
They make a profit every year. And it depends on how much profit they do. Even finishing in last place, the way the Major League Baseball is designed, it helps all the franchises.
But from one through whatever.
I don't know that information. Nate, do you know that information? Have you seen that? They do make money every single year, regardless of
what. Major League Baseball teams do.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They have ancillary stuff that contributes to it all. And that is one thing they do divvy up. Not anything else. I think there should be more in revenue sharing. I think there should be more in salary cap and floor and ceiling and all that stuff. But that's a broken record. I don't know if we'll ever see that in our lifetime.
Okay, hey,
thank you, Bob. Yeah, they make money, which is another reason why they should be trying to make more money. And one way to do that is bring in better people, right? So you're okay. You would do this.
I would pull the trigger a long time ago. I grew up loving his dad, Vlad Guerrero, and I think that from him coming up, I always thought that he could be a Pirates first baseman that like breaks the curse. You could put him in there. He's a good guy. He's a great teammate.
Yes.
He's an excellent hitter.
And he's 25 years old, and he's going to be a free agent.
Yep. He's the kind of guy you want on your team.
But the fact that Cincinnati is mentioned as a possible contender for him, if Cincinnati is mentioned, then why shouldn't Pittsburgh be mentioned?
They should.
Unless you're just not interested and you don't change your business model. So we'll see. Pirates play today. The Orioles at Smith Stadium, 1 o'clock. You'll hear it over on KDKA AM. 412-928-9370. Lots to talk about until 1:45 when we join Pitt Panther pregame. They get set to take on Notre Dame today, a team they must win. In fact, I would say they'd have to win out coming up. We'll talk about all of this stuff, including Steeler moves. If you want to talk about what they need to do, what you think they may do, I've been daydreaming. Why not you? You can probably daydream and come up with names for me, and we'll talk about it. It's all coming up next as we continue on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the show, and we have a change of the guard as Joel Nelson is in the hot seat now behind the glass, thanks to Nate Haluschek. Joel, I've looked up here, and now of all things that are on the air that I see on our TV monitors, it's Shawshank Redemption, one of my favorite movies of all time. Is it one of yours?
I haven't seen it, so I would not be able to give you a definitive answer.
It's a great story, more than anything else. There's no Matrix event, nothing crazy about it. It's just a story. It's a great story, and it's about a warden who's basically a hard person to deal with, and Andrew Dufresne, who's trying to get out of a long time in prison, and how he does it's pretty amazing. You would like him. Anyway, we're here not talking about that, although if you want to talk about your favorite movie, feel free. We're talking about sports of the day at 412-928-9370. That's the number to call. It's also the number of the fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And our fan Twitter site is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We've gotten into the Four Nations. Love to hear your thought on that. Best ratings in 30 years. International hockey, 10.7. USA-Canada, won by Canada. Sidney Crosby still undefeated in international formats. And feel great for him because I know how important that was for him. Whether or not he is going to play today is still up in the air. I imagine Mike Sullivan will be talking there pretty soon to the local media. And he was a game-time decision as of yesterday. But Sidney Crosby strikes me as the kind of guy who may just say, I'm going to play. And, you know, he got back-to-back. It's not easy. You got Washington today, Rangers tomorrow. Washington will be preceded with a beautiful tribute, I'm sure, because the Penguins do it upright to Mike Lang at 3 o'clock. Game after that, and Washington is the best team in the Eastern Conference. I don't think any of us would have thought that going into this one, but he is, or they are, I should say. And Logan Thompson, a great trade they made and signed him to a deal, and he only has two losses all year. He's one of the best goaltenders in the game, and I was quite surprised he was not chosen for the Four Nations. 412-928-9370. We also threw out a dream format, and if you're a Pirate fan, Vlad Guerrero is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. Toronto has tried, but they've not been able to sign him. He's 25 years old. He's a bopper. Pirates have not had a guy hit 40 home runs in 52 years. They need a first baseman with some punch. He's available. I know the price is high, but with their payroll as low as it is, you can add a $50 million a year guy and still end up being not even in the top 15 in payrolls. So I would at least try, wouldn't you? 412-928-9370. Go to the car. Begin with Jim, who's driving around on a beautiful day in Pittsburgh. What's up, Jim?
Bob, I'm out of the car now in Basil's barbershop, but real quick, I say get the guy from Toronto. He's the perfect fit. And make McCutchen a player coach for a year and then definitely retire him. Put him out with Sal and that's it. But they need somebody senior, you know, in the clubhouse one more year. Somebody changing pieces.
Well, Andrew is always going to have a role. He could play, you know, the problem is he can't play the field anymore, so he's a DH. But you need more out of your DH, quite frankly, in my view. And I'm saying about Vlad Guerrero, you can do a lot of different things with him. You can DH him some days, play first base. He's a good first baseman, from what I understand. He's a good guy in their locker room. He's only 25. Even if you gave him $50 million for 8 years, whatever, it does not change the fact that the Pirates still are not going to have a top 15 payroll. I know that's out of the box. I know that's something that won't happen, but why shouldn't it happen? If you're going to make a statement, especially with Paul Skeens here for the next 4 to 5 years, do it now when you have a chance to. Spend some money. You'd be surprised how much I think you can bring back. They're going to make money anyway, so let's make money. Make more.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you, and I'm glad to see. I called last year. We had to get Cruz off short. They did it, so I'm happy.
Yeah, not many people thought it'd be center field, though, Jim, but that's where he is.
No, I'm with you. I was first base all the way. He's a perfect.
But they keep looking for a first baseman, and this is what I'm saying. Every year you can't go through this scenario. At some point, you've got to change it.
I'm with you.
And I realize that I'm spending other people's money. I'm good at that. But thank you, Jim, for the call. Appreciate that at 412-928-9370. Guy in the state of California joins us right now. When Guy normally calls, we talk hockey. Are we going to do that today, Guy?
Yes, sir. Hey, Bob, good to hear you again on a Saturday. Hey, listen, you're certainly the most knowledgeable hockey guy in Pittsburgh. I'll be real quick here, though. You know, there's nothing I can add about Mike Lang's greatness, except it's been said, you know, he saved hockey in Pittsburgh in the 80s. Besides Mario, no one did it more. And, you know, I'd come back from University of Miami in 83, and that winter I had to do something so I didn't go crazy. And someone says, well, let's go down to the hockey game. And there were 8,000 or 9,000 people down there. And listening to the radio, he just gets you so excited about the games, as bad as the Penguins may have played. He was able to paint a portrait with his descriptions. And, you know, when he would start out, it's a hockey night in Pittsburgh tonight from the Cap Center in Landover, Maryland. You know, that just still rings in my ear. You know, the Penguins meet the Washington Capitals.
Right.
And just the buildup. And they were inevitably going to lose those games, but he kept our interest in that. And I just want to say about international hockey real quick. There's two things that have to be changed a little bit here. One, they've got to play before the season. And, you know, you mentioned it.
I would be okay with that just because of what it means during the regular – although February is a dead time for most sports. If you're going to get an audience, this is a good time to do it.
Yeah, but the injury factor is real. You know, the Vegas could ill afford to lose Shea Theodore before if they want to make a big run in the playoffs. And the other thing is to let the Russians play. And the example I'll give you, if you remember, I don't know if you were following international hockey at the time, but that in 87, they had the Canadian Cup.
Yes, the Canada Cup. That was beautiful.
Yeah, the Canada Cup. That was, you know, Gretzky and Lemieux on the same line. And they were playing against the Soviets. And Tikhonov was the coach. And the KLM line, the Soviet line, was Krutov, Larionov, and Makarov. That was some of the best hockey that I ever saw. And I think, you know, the teams can ill afford, as I'm saying, to play that intensity, that, you know, playoff intensity this late in the season. And I think as a viewer, we love it. Sure, we, you know. But I think if you're following following these teams carefully. They're just on the brink of the playoffs. That's why Pietrangelo from the Vegas Golden Knights didn't want to go, because he was nursing an injury.
Right. No, I know. It's a difficult choice at sometimes. The guys play, and now the team that has those players are going to be without those players. And I'm very interested to see how much time Matthew Tkachuk will miss, because if it is a groin injury, which I think I heard, you know, those things can linger and make it very difficult on a team, and Florida needs him badly.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, I just want to thank you again for, you know, everything you said about, you guys said about Mike Lang, because it really struck home with me. Thank you,
thanks, man. Appreciate the call all the way from California, 412-928-9370. I've never had an Igor call here, and so my antennas are up. Joel, you took this call. Igor in Indiana, is this correct?
And that's the first time I've ever, like, screened a call from someone named Igor as well.
And you think it's legit? You put it on.
I don't know.
Here, so.
I'm 50-50 on it.
Well, let's find out. Igor in Indiana, how are you today? You're such a jagoff. You know, you really are.
Oh. Come on, Bob. Igor?
Well,
at least Jolie, I'm glad Jolie's not a bouncer. Everybody would get into any bar they wanted.
Hey, you never know. But Igor, at least I knew it was potentially you or Pony, one of the two of you. So, all right, forget that you're Joe Starkey. I'm going to call you Igor. Igor, that's a good hockey name. You would be probably a Dave Semenko type of player if you were the Penguins. Igor, get out there and kick some butt. What's on your mind, Igor?
Oh, I was just enjoying the hockey talk, Bob. That was a hell of a game and a great tournament.
It really was, and the numbers validate that for what it, you know, I didn't think they can get that many people watching, but
me
boy,
neither.
Did they. 10.7 million, that's good. Now, my question always has been, will that actually translate into regular season hockey viewership increase? And my answer would be no.
Yeah, I agree with you. Totally agree. I mean, that has as much in common with regular season hockey as I do with, you know, Adam Crowley or somebody. You know, it's just that they're two completely different things. But, Bob, you were on it. You flagged it down. I'll see you Monday. I don't even feel like I succeeded here. It was just a partial success.
Well, we have a lot to talk about on Monday. We will. So I look forward to rejoining you. I hope you had a nice couple of days off, Joe. Or Igor.
All right, Bob. Love you. Good night.
Bye, Joe. Oh, my goodness. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Dennis in Shadyside. Hello, Dennis. How are you?
Good, Bob. First off, two movies that I stop when I'm doing and watch them forever, they are Shawshank and Goodfellas.
Oh, so no question. And, those both are higher on my list.
Absolutely. But, you know, regarding Guerrero's sign with the Pirates, you know, it's nice to talk and think, but we all know Nutting isn't going to take on a contract.
But I want to play the game. How about let's say they were willing. It wouldn't do anything different to them, would it? I mean, yeah,
no.
It costs money,
Where
but guess what?
Are they in the salary cap? Are they? I know they're at the bottom. Are they at the dead bottom?
No, they're two removed. I think it was two removed from the bottom. They're less money spent this year than last, and last year was in the 80s. So, I mean,
do people know that we get compensation from other teams that's actually more than our payroll is? So it's basically like Nutting doesn't have to pay. He has no payroll. It's paid by the other team.
That's how you make money. You know, you make a lot of money in baseball, even if you finish last. So that's probably why he's not willing to delve too far into expenditures when it comes to a roster. But you should. I mean, this is the product that people want to see. And just imagine, I got to believe that he still has vibes from 2013, 14, and 15. And he knew what that all meant and how much extra money that brought in. You know, not to mention, for example, all the sponsorships associated with the Pirates. Let's say the title field sponsorship, which is PNC Park. PNC Park pays a premium to have that name on that stadium. You don't think they want national recognition, because it is a bank now that is expanding throughout the country. That's what you want. But when you don't get a lot of games on national television because you're not very good, you don't get that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it helps everyone.
Wasn't it before, like, Bobby Bonilla actually went to New York because he got a radio deal that really was outside the parameters of the salaries that, you know, they have abilities to do this in other cities as well. You know, like pork almost, you know, things they can add to their
package to make it more appealing to sign for maybe a little less money.
Probably so. I don't remember that, but I do know he's still on July 1st, gets paid $1.3 million a year for the next 20-some years. It's pretty good.
Well, maybe we should sign him first base.
Well, listen, the Dodgers are doing the deferred payment plan. If the Pirates wanted to do it, and if he would be willing, why wouldn't you? You know, I don't.
Yeah.
Do it so that you spread it all out, so that when he's 50 and 60 years old, he's still getting a paycheck when he's enjoying his golden years, right? There are a lot of things you can do. I'm just saying, why wouldn't they be interested? He's 25. He is an up-and-coming.
Absolutely.
He's already arrived, but he's one of those guys who can really ignite your offense, I think.
I didn't realize it's been that many years since the 40-year home run hitter.
52 years, Willie Stargell. No, but Willie Stargell was the last to do it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I remember that. So, all right. Well, thanks, Bob. Have a nice day.
All right. You too. Thank you, Dennis. One of our favorites, Doc in Claysville, is up next here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. What's up, Doc?
Hi, Bob. I'm 100% agree with you with getting Vlad Guerrero. That's the move they make. They move him right up there in competition with the better teams. And you're exactly right. That's a they. 1 year,
I'd say. Yeah, I mean, Doc, you're right. And by the way, are you doing okay?
I'm doing good.
Good. I'm glad to hear it because I haven't heard you for a while, so I was thinking about you.
Well, thanks. But the other thing is that I would take care of first base this year.
And for the next 8 years.
And the other thing is going to have a little better bench, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that it really ignites every part of your – and it would ignite a fan base. I believe that. It would ignite Paul Skeens and a pitching staff that knows now they got a guy who could – again, I tend to think we're fantasizing here, but so be it. It is a beautiful sunny day in February, and there's not much else to talk about, so why not?
Like I say, I couldn't agree with you more, and I hope you opened up his eyes, realize what it means to the city and the – And all the players and the fans, but that's the deal if he can make it.
All right, Doc. Thank you. Appreciate
your
call.
Okay, buddy. Keep up the good work.
All right. I hope you're doing well, and thanks for calling at 412-928-9370. Let's try Frank in Chippewa, Joel. See what he has to say. Hey, Frank.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I got my golf clubs out. I'm probably hoping in the next couple of weeks to get out here and play in Chippewa. I know you're probably ready too, right?
You know what? I haven't said this much, but I just came back from a bucket list trip for me to Pebble Beach. So I've never played out there, and I wanted to do it, and it's sort of an opportunity arose, and I took it, and it was a great experience, I can tell you that.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, getting to the Pirates real quick with the ownership, I know they get more just from the national TV contract than their payroll. And, you know, baseball doesn't have a floor. Yeah, but I don't know what – Bob Nutting doesn't care about the city of Pittsburgh. He would have done something by now. If I'm Paul Skeens, after the trading deadline comes up and he doesn't help the team out if they're in contention, I'm asking to be traded.
Well, I don't think Skeens is going to do that. And quite frankly, I don't think I would – even if he asked, I wouldn't do it. You know, I mean, he's got to be here. What I would do is listen to him, and I would try to understand that, man, this team – potentially, in what is a winnable division, in my view, one big bat like that can make a difference. Now, what most likely will happen with him is that he's going to go play for Toronto. At the trade deadline, if they're not involved, then you'll see the stakes where people will try to get him, knowing that he'll be a rental player, and it'll cost you a lot for that as well. We'll see what that results in. But he still would then be a free agent at the end of the year, unless that team that acquires him decides to sign him as they acquire him. So there are a lot of different things that can happen here, but he's going to be one of the primary pieces that everyone's talking about at that trade deadline if Toronto's not very good.
Yeah, I agree. But the Pirates always go in the cheap. You know, one-year contracts for players that don't have that don't have any more contracts years left. So it's a vicious cycle, and I don't think it's going to change until the ownership changes. I hope I'm wrong.
Well, I don't think that's going to change either. Thanks, Frank, but. You know, it's like if you didn't have Paul Skeens and Jared Jones, two young, really good pitchers, I think, you may think differently. But because you do, that gives you a huge advantage. Like I said, if I have to, and I don't like predicting too many things because things change and you never know what you're going to find out as time goes on. But I would suspect because of these two and Keller, who's still a good three, and these two lefties they have now in Falter and Haney, that they're going to be in a lot of games. They have pitchers who've gone through this heavy ended top part of it with Skeens and Jones. They're going to be in a lot of games. You may fall short with bats, and if you do, shame on you. And even if it's not Vlad Jr., I throw that out because it seems like he would be available. If it's somebody else, make a trade. Do something. They brought in Haney. Do something with some of the blue chips you have in your prospect list. Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to trading Bubba Chandler. If I can get a bat that I know could be reliable for the next 5 to 8 years. 412-928-9370. Let's squeak one more in, Joel, before we take a break. And that would be Dan in Westview. Quentin and Bill, hang on.
Hey,
you'll
Bob.
Be coming up next. What's up, Dan?
Hey, not too much. Hey, so is Vladimir Guerrero a free agent right now?
No, he has one. You can trade for him. He has 1 year left, and then he is a free agent. But Toronto has failed to come up with a deal that he likes. So
I'll tell you what, Bob. You get him in the lineup, and with the pitching we have, I think we are a contender in our division.
I don't think there'll be any question. I don't think that division is going to be all that great. It's winnable.
And I think nothing's getting a bad rap. I mean, it was in 2013 he went all out, and we had a good chance at that time.
Nah, it's a good rap. It's a legitimate rap. He's this is how he does business, but this is not a business where you should do traditional business-like habits. It's a different kind of business. You have to be willing to win when you get taxpayer-funded aid in a lot of the things that have happened.
That's agreeable, but didn't we have a good year last year up until the injuries to Jared Jones?
They finished in last place. It's not a good year.
Yeah, but in August we were in it.
No, they weren't. I don't think they were. I think they were out of it.
We're about 10 games out, five games.
No, that's a landslide. That's too many. I mean, I want to see a legitimate opportunity here because I think people have starved for it in Pittsburgh. We saw the reaction back in the 2013, 14, and 15.
Well, I've been a fan since the 70s, so I'm ready for another win. So we need a championship.
You absolutely do, and I feel like you. Time's running out. We need to see something here if you like baseball the way I do and the way you do. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the call. We have Quentin, Chuck, and Bill all coming up next. Short break right here. Joel Nelson, I have a headline for you. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back. Beautiful day in Pittsburgh. Got the sun out. Hopefully the temperatures will rise and people are thinking about spring a little bit more. 412-928-9370. Joel Nelson behind the glass here. We're on to 145 today. And a reminder to you, if you're headed to the Penguins game at PPG Paints Arena, be in your seats early by 3 o'clock. I know it says the faceoff's at 3, but likely not because it's a national game. It'll be 3:20 or so. But they're going to plan a very nice, I'm sure, very moving tribute for the late, great Mike Lang. That'll precede the game between the Penguins and Washington Capitals, a much-needed game. But a much-needed game for Pitt, too. They're in Notre Dame. Let's go out to Bill, who joins us in Newcastle here, wants to talk some Pitt hoops. What's up, Bill?
Yes, I would like to talk. Well, you think that Pitt could beat Notre Dame-like?
They better. Notre Dame right now is a 105 net ranking team. They're not very good, especially at home. They've struggled. You know, they're 5-10 in ACC conference play. Pitt has to win. They've dug a hole. They lost one of these kind of games to, I believe, Virginia, which was in a similar spot when it comes to net rankings. That was a 20-point loss at home. So, yes, they got to win out, I think.
Yeah, I do, too. That sounds like a good choice.
All right,
okay,
Bill.
Thanks for taking
listen to the
my
game.
Call.
You're certainly welcome. KDKA AM today at 1 o'clock. No, 2:15. Is it 2:15? Wait a minute. That's the Pirates on 1 o'clock. We're on 2:15 here, right? 1:45
yes.
p.m. I'm getting all this messed up. Chuck in Uniontown. Hello, Chuck. How are you today?
Hi, Bob. Good to talk to you again.
You too.
Yeah. Best to you, Lisa and Selena.
Well, thank you.
First of all, condolences to Mike Lang. That's just, he was one of the great ones in Pittsburgh, no question about it.
Yeah, you won't find another play-by-play guy as colorful as Mike Lang. I don't think there's anyone in the country, actually, I could say that about.
Well, what I really want to talk about, your comment about Vlad Guerrero, you're absolutely right. I mean, doesn't Lenny realize that if he brought in somebody like that and we'd make postseason play, he would make even more money than he does now? Well, you know, you couldn't get a seat at PNC Park.
No, it would be wonderful. And if, you know, you have the pitching led by Paul Skeens, Chuck,
yeah.
You get a bat like that in the middle of your order, and you know what he's capable of doing. I don't care what it costs him, you know. Even if you pay him $50 million a year, so what? It brings you not even to the top 15 in payroll. You jump over teams like the Cubs and maybe the Reds, I think. But you would be behind. No, you jump over the Brewers and the Reds. You'd still be behind the Cubs and the Cardinals in terms of overall payroll, even if you gave him $50 million a year. So I know I'm just saying something that will never happen, but what the heck? It's worth talking about, I think, just because there's not much else to talk about this time of year.
But, I mean, he's stupid. He doesn't even know what's good for himself. And, the thing is, just think of, you know, all the concessions and everything else.
Yeah, winning brings other form of revenue. That's the thing that you do, and he should know that from going through it for a 3-year span.
Yeah, and if he's a businessman, he should know that. And what's bothered me, they're wasting the Paul Skeens gift. How often do you get a generational pitcher like this? A player like that should be headed toward a world championship team.
Yep, no question about it. Thank you, Chuck.
They're wasting it.
I appreciate your call, and I hope you're doing well, my friend. Thank you for calling. 412-928-9370. Quentin in Pittsburgh is up next. Hello, Q.
Hey, Bob. How's it going, my man?
What's up?
Hey, listen, real briefly, man, I just want to say, you know, my condolences to Mike Lang. It's a great day for hockey. It's a great day for sports talk for your show. And you know what? I just want to say this to all the Pittsburgh listeners here today on the line, including Chuck and Uniontown. If we get Vladimir Guerrero like you suggest, Bob Papiani, I only got one thing to say, my friend. Get in the fast lane, Grandma! The bingo game is ready to roll!
That's pretty good, Quentin. That's a good one. Thank you for the call. Again, I don't know.
Buddy.
All right. I just threw this out because there's, like I said, we're talking about all these different scenarios for the Steelers and whatever, and this is what you do to fill time, I suppose. But I just saw a note that Toronto had tried and failed to sign Guerrero, and he could be available. And at 25, the Pirates need a first baseman. They've been searching for one forever, regardless of the cost. They haven't had a 40 home run guy in 52 years. The last person to do it was Willie Stargell. So why wouldn't you be interested? You may not get him, but I would throw my hat in the ring, wouldn't you? Why not? 412-928-9370. Ed in the North Hills joins us. Hey, Ed, what's up?
Hey, Bob. First time talking to you. Long time listener. You're definitely the best of sports broadcasters here in Pittsburgh.
We have a lot of them, and I'm honored to even be in the conversation, but thank you.
Now, you're definitely the cream of the crop now. First off, you know, speaking of some of the best, the sports industry in Pittsburgh and across the country is going to miss Mike Lang. I miss him. He was a unique and treasure here in Pittsburgh, and we were so fortunate to have him all those years. And he would have enjoyed the hockey that we've saw in the last week and a half.
I would have loved to have heard him call that game. I think Sean McDonough does a heck of a job. He's doing the game today for the Penguins and Caps. Sean has been around for a long time. He did the Sid Bream game in Atlanta, Pittsburgh back when we had the games on CBS. Sean's a tremendous.
Yeah, I remember.
But I would have loved to have heard Mike's description of that game.
Absolutely. And then I did kind of post that I was just going to give a comment to the Pirates. You know, like you, I'd love to see them sign somebody, but they just won't. I think the only chance the Pirates have of bolstering their hitting is if they would try to do some reclamation work on some of the existing guys that they brought in thinking they were going to be good hitters, and they just haven't worked out for one reason or another. I actually think the hitting coach needs to be revisited for the Pirates because we keep bringing these guys in that are supposedly...
Well, it's a new hitting coach. They have Matt Haig this year, so we'll see what he can do.
So I'm hopeful that they can do, you know, reclamation work on like Jack Sawinski and the catcher that never was, and maybe we can get these guys in the lineup and actually start hitting, because that's the only way that's going to happen for the Pirates.
Well, I mean, if you can't do that, then you're stuck in the same spiraling downward kind of trying to find a first baseman. Yeah, but hopefully they can get those guys right because it would make a big difference. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate the call.
Have a good day. Thanks, Bob.
All right. You too, man. Let's go to Brian in New Brighton, Pennsylvania. home of the Brighton Hot Dog Shop and more. What's up, Brian?
How's it going?
It's good, thank you. What's up?
So the two I want to add is first, on Michael, I think one of the sneaky like things that he did as a kid growing up was, you know, the younger generation with his goal calls and how he called the game really engaged a lot of younger kids in the Hawkins area and made it cool to go to the grade school and cycle Michael motorcycle to your friend.
Well, you're right. And pick up games of hockey. You know, people would, if you're just going as a fan, you yourself, after a goal sitting there, would come up with one. You're not listening to what he's saying, but you may have, he has so many of them that you blurt it out, right? Just sitting there watching a game. So he became that ingrained because of those sayings, yes.
So it pressured in a younger generation. The other thing when watching this Four Nations is I don't think we appreciated how good Jake Gensel has got. He thought really stuck out and really stood out in the tournament, especially in that final game. I just wanted to point, like, give him some kudos because I think he's turned. Everybody talks about how he was sitting and said that this, did that, did that. I think Jake could carry his own in reality, and it showed in that Four Nations tournament.
No question. I thought he made a beautiful pass in front to Austin Matthews, who was denied by Binnington. And he's sneaky good. He's one of those guys who knows how to get to the areas that need to be get to set up goals or score goals. And that's one of the reasons why when he was, you know, and they weren't going to pay the $9 million, but, man, that's what it takes. He had the one chance to cash in. He did. And Carolina now has added Rantanen to go with Gensel. So it's going to be interesting to see the effect they have together.
And hindsight is 2020 with a trade, and I know you can second-guess anything. But with trading him, and I know that they might not have given him the money, but from a pure line standpoint, I think it really, you're seeing the effect here of, you know, having Raquel up to that first line, and you really shrunk your productivity and making it just a one-line team. And it kind of really has handcuffed them this year.
Yeah, I think it has, but I mean, that's the way it goes at this point, and they're going to be interesting to see what they do at the trade deadline coming up this year at March the 7th. Thanks, Brian. Always appreciate your take. Will, Stretch, and Jeff. Stretch, interesting. Haven't had a stretch. We had an Igor. Now we have a stretch coming up. Will, Stretch, and Jeff, plus three lines open at 412-928-9370. We'll continue. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show coming up. It's a Joel Nelson headline right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We are on to 1:45 today, a little extended time in advance of Pitt pregame. Cale Berger, Curtis Aiken, Billy Hillgrove will have that call at Notre Dame. Pitt is, I don't know if they're a slight favorite or underdog, but it's a close matchup. Even though Notre Dame has really struggled this year, they're 11-15 overall, 5-10 in conference play. Pitt needs to win, I think, all remaining games. After this, they have Georgia Tech, they have NC State, but the toughest one may be at the Yum Center against Louisville, but they got to make sure they win these games. After struggling and losing some games, really, that they thought they were going to be winners, especially at home, that Virginia Cavalier game was terrible. 412-928-9370, Will in the North Side is on the air right now. Hello, Will.
Hi, Bob. I was thinking of a dream trade. I might get the fans excited if they could pry Dylan Cruz away from Washington, potential five-tool player. Hasn't done anything yet. Still a rookie.
For what, though? I mean, they just drafted him just like the Steelers or the Pirates did with Skeens.
Yeah, I know you were excited about him when they drafted him.
I was,
yeah.
But I don't
I don't know what they need, but it would solve your right field problem and give you another bat to protect the ones you have in your lineup. But
well, listen, Will, one of the things I mentioned with this Guerrero just fabricated thing, I don't even know what to call it. It's a wish list of mine. Well, my point is he's an established. He's only 25. He's established himself already. And when you look at like what one batter, someone called me earlier and said, "What's one batter going to do?" Well, I'll tell you this: if you watched Philadelphia when they acquired Bryce Harper, what Bryce Harper has meant to that team over the last couple of years, you spend a lot certainly, but you know the return on the investment should be competing for opportunities to be in the playoffs, and who knows what that leads to. So even if it's $50 million a year for Vladimir Guerrero, it does not really take their payroll to a point where it would be a killer payroll. It'd still be $110 million a year or $120 million a year. That's it, even with what they have right now. So,
what if he gets hurt? They already trade for a first baseman. He's
he's injured.
Yeah, but again, that's typical of what the Pirates would do. And that's no disrespect to Spencer Horwitz. He could be good. I don't know. But I'd rather take my chance on a guy who's already established as a 35 to 42 home run guy. And they haven't had one of those in 52 years. So, you know what I mean?
It's still a lot of money. So much difference in what they're paying the other players.
So what?
I'm not sure. Well, how is he going to play in the clubhouse? I don't.
It doesn't matter. He's a good clubhouse guy, from what I understand. Yeah. Money should not come into. If anything, again, I go to the a rising tide lifts all boats theory. When you get a guy like that, what it means, and again, Bryce Harper meant a lot to Philadelphia when they acquired him.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah.
Thank you, Will. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. All right, we got Stretch. It's actually time for me to stretch, but Stretch, you're on. What's up?
Hey, Bob. Thanks so much for taking my call. Listen, I wanted to give a shout to Women's College Hoops, but first, just a quick note about Mike Lang and all the well-deserved tributes to one of the all-time Pittsburgh sports greats. One thing I haven't heard is what a tremendous blues music fan he was.
Well, we talked about that,
He, I don't know, did anybody mention the old Gene's Blues Lounge on Route 51 just outside the Liberty Tubes? He used to hold court at the bar there. Chismo Charles, Gary Beloman, the Blues Bombers. It was one of my favorite places to ever see Mike Lang. Just a tremendous, tremendous guy.
Very much so. Thank you for that.
But the women's hoops thing I wanted to mention, I spoke with Paul Alexander last week after Juju Watkins for SC went off for 38 points and 11 rebounds and 8 blocks against the previously undefeated UCLA Bruins. Uh-huh. There's a couple other people just want to encourage your audience. If you ever get a chance to watch South Carolina and another sophomore named Malaysia Fulwiley is one of the most extraordinary basketball players I've ever seen. Not women basketball players, just hoops players. The things that she can do with the ball on the court are amazing. So if you ever get a chance to see South Carolina or USC or, of course, Paige Buckets for UConn,
Paige Buckets, tremendously... yeah, we have a lot of Juju's unbelievable, to be honest. I think that's
It's great that Caitlin Clark got so many people interested in the sport who had never watched it before, and she'll always be one of the greatest because of that. But there are some tremendously talented players still in college, and it's great to see them getting more visibility.
No question Thanks about that. Thank you, Stretch. Appreciate it. But it's you're talking about increased viewership. We're talking about the Four Nations. Women's basketball has really increased. Caitlin Clark had a lot to do with that, but now there are all these people coming up who are going to be just as good and competitive, and so that's good for that sport without question. Jeff is in Jeanette. Now he's on the air. Hey, Jeff.
Oh, hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Just wanted to say, it was probably about 1986 or so, I was finding out who the Penguins were because I was a senior in high school and a couple years after Lemieux was drafted. And there was only maybe one or two games a year on the television. So I remember sitting by the radio. I think it was called a transistor radio at the time.
Yep.
For like 2.5 hours. And Mike Lang, the way he called the game, I could actually see it. I could see the game, but I'm only listening to the radio. And I'd sit there for like 2.5 hours. And he was just a brilliant. The way he called the game, you could actually see it. And that's what got me hooked for, the last 39 years or so. Because I never really knew what hockey was until I started listening to Mike Lang on the radio. And he was just a play-by-play genius, I thought. And
no question. He could create a vision in your head without you ever watching what was going on. And that's what radio was back then, when he did it late night especially. I remember that got me involved, too, where you can listen to games out west. And you know, we didn't have access like we do today. And his description of it was bar none the best. I mean, he could paint that picture in your head, which set him apart.
Yeah, it might have been maybe he could see like a 2-on-1 odd man rush developing, or you could see that as he was calling it. And that might have been a great save by the goaltender, or here's a breakaway, and you could actually see almost see what was happening because he was so good at describing it. And it just got me hooked on the sport, you know, for the rest of my life, which is great.
Yeah, it's almost like he was an auctioneer, too. You had to have fast tonsils to keep up with that.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly right, yeah.
Jeff, thank you. I appreciate that. And they'll be celebrating Mike Lang's life today prior to the game with the Washington Capitals, 3 p.m., be in your seats. And that'll be a special occasion, no doubt. And just it's sad to think these guys who we've known. And I remember when Stan Saverin passed away. Man, it hits you hard when you get to know people when they've had an impact on your life. And Mike Lang certainly did with mine and many other people in this town. So we wish condolences to his family, to his kids, to everyone there, just because of what he meant to them and to the family, which is the hockey community here in Pittsburgh as well. John in Monongahela, we'll take you before we take a break. Hello, John.
Hi, Bob. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Okay. Two things. One, I wanted to bring up about Mike Lang. It was probably about 40 years ago, just the type of person he was. We were waiting around with my best friend and his sister who took us to a Penguin game. And we saw him, and we were going up to get an autograph. He was getting ready to go into the bathroom, but believe it or not, he stopped. He handed us his jacket, his drink. He went to the bathroom, came out, signed the autograph, and talked to us. And I was probably 13, 14 years old. That's just the type of guy he always was.
No question. I mean, he did that with everybody. And even though he loved, you know, when he went to a place afterwards, he'd sit by himself. But if you would approach him, he would never turn you away. He'd always talk to you about hockey or whatever it is you want to talk. If you're a big rhythm and blues fan, he'd talk about that. So thanks, John, for the memory.
Oh, yeah. That was such a great memory. And by the way, Bob, you were great. I got to meet you when we changed the name to Joe Montana Stadium when you were down there.
Oh, that's right. Ringgold High School, yeah. I used to make a lot of trips to high schools back in the day, sure. So.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I met you there, and you've been the same person ever since, and I appreciate that, too.
Thank you, John. Appreciate your call. All right, we're due for a break. We have Brian in Brookline coming up here as we continue to 145, 412-928-9370. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, it's at KDPomp. We continue with the Bob Pompiani Show right here on a Saturday and a beautiful day in Pittsburgh. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We're back, round and third, heading home on a beautiful day in Pittsburgh as the Penguins get ready to resume their season. It'll be Washington in town, 3:20, I would say, face-off there. Prior to it, it's a wonderful tribute that the Penguins will make for a man who was the voice. And for many seasons, I think the face of the franchise before Mario Lemieux came here, before Crosby. I mean, Mike Lang drew people in, even though the team didn't have a whole bunch of success. They had some good players for sure, like Pierre LaRouche, like Jean Pronovost. Remember the Sillaps line, the Century line. But you know, Dave Burrows comes to mind. But they never Ron Stackhouse. But they never had the kind of team that evolved after Lemieux came here. And so Mike Lang had a prominent role in nearly five decades of being the voice of the Penguins. He will be honored today as the Penguins begin their season now with a sub-500 record, seventh in the Metropolitan. They are 6 points out of the final wild card, but they got some teams to overcome. Meanwhile, Washington is 36-11-8. I don't think any of us would have thought the Capitals, because to me they mirrored the Penguins in so many ways, but they did a pretty good little subtle rebuild on the fly, and they've got some young guys in their lineup, complimenting Alex Ovechkin, along with Logan Thompson, a big pickup in Trey with Vegas. They've signed him to a long deal. He only has two losses all year. He's been dynamic, and he will be in goal today for the Capitals. So, you know, the bottom line there is the Penguins got their work cut out of them with the Capitals today and then with the Rangers at home tomorrow. But Mike Lang's memory, that'll be the top thing going on at 3 o'clock today. 412-928-9370. If you're driving to the game, make sure you get to those seats a little early. To make sure you can take it all in. Brian in Brookline is on the line right now. Brian, are you going to the game today?
No, Bob, I am not. I have chores to do for the wife.
There we go. Honeydew day.
Absolutely. Two things. One about Mike, and I want to ask you a question about something with the Steelers, but Pittsburgh should be blessed. We had Bill Hillgrove, Mike Lang, all these guys, Lanny. And we should be really blessed to have three franchises represented so eloquently and well. And even to you too, Bob, you're still with us for a long time. So it's nice. I
hope so.
it's nice. It's nice to have some stability. And Mike will definitely be missed. He's one of the reasons I got interested in hockey about 10 years ago, listening to him. Yeah, he made it fun to listen to.
And he has had a direct impact on others, like Greg Brown, who had a tremendous relationship with him, got him going into baseball, and Brownie's eventually done a very nice job taking over for Lanny after all these years, and then Josh Guest's off for the Penguins. Mike Lang had a lot to do with that. Steve Mears before him, so he's always been willing to help young guys.
That's what I like. And the spinoff to this, the Steelers, in your estimation, if we don't get Fields, if we just don't get him, do you see the Steelers staying at 21 or moving up to get somebody? I really don't like this quarterback class at all.
I don't either. I mean, that's why I wouldn't do it. I would do other things that I need and wait till next year if I could, or figure out a way that I'm not going to reach. You know, they did that once before with Pickett, and, you know, whatever reason, it didn't work out here. If you do that again and set yourself back, this chasing of the quarterback costs you time and repeated draft picks. So I would instead, it's a deep defensive line class, I'd do that. I would look at wide receivers to bring in as well. I would do a lot of things. I think they'll figure out their quarterback situation before anything else happens. I think they have to before it gets to the point where they become free agents.
Daniel Jones, does he do anything for you?
There's a lot I like about him, but as a backup, sure. As a starter, probably not.
Fair enough. I just wanted to get your 2 cents on it, Bob. Yeah.
No, I he'll have a market for himself. There's no question. I don't know about starters, but and that's what Russell Wilson finds himself. If he doesn't get a job here, where is he going to be a starter? I don't think it'll be the Raiders, even though he played once for Pete Carroll. They did not part the right way, so I don't know if it's there. I don't know what they're going to do. It's going to be interesting to see over the next couple of weeks. But thanks for the call, Brian. I do appreciate it. All right, let's go out to Mike in Jacksonville. Jacksonville, FLA, home of Sawgrass. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Really well. I have a kind of morbid question I want to ask you.
Morbid?
Yes, sir.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I don't wish you any bad will or anything like that. I'm just curious to find out. If something was to happen to you, how would you like your name remembered? With the Pirates, with the Steelers, with the Penguins, like the other three guys?
Mike, all I know is what I know. And I've been, to me, to answer this is hard. I think I've been consistent in what I do. I try to be fair. I try to be very respectful of people. I've done that my whole life. My parents have taught me that, and I've tried to carry it on to not only my kids, but now my grandkids. And it's a simple philosophy, but it's one that applies to everything you do. And it's this one. It's nice to be important. It's more important to be nice. I've always valued opinions of people who want to talk to me. I am honored that you take the time to listen or watch. So just, you know, I mean, if that's the case, I want to be remembered as somebody who was good at what he did and was respectful to everyone he encountered.
I love listening to you, Bob. You do bring out some really good points. But I have a question I'd like to ask you.
Sure.
What do you feel about Daniel Jones, the quarterback from the Giants?
Well, he's with the Vikings now, or was. I don't, you know, again, as I told the previous caller, Mike, I think he has some upside there. He still has legs. You know, I don't know if the system in New York has specifically led to any kind of success for him. He's a good friend of Saquon Barkley. If you ever listen to Saquon talk about him, he still thinks he can be that guy. Sixth overall once taken in the draft. You know, I don't know. I think he would be a good backup. I've seen enough of him as a starter to think maybe that his best days as a starter, unless it's a clean slate and somebody does what, you know, for him, what Sam Darnold got out of Minnesota, turned his career around, you know? So I don't know. I don't think I'd give him the kind of money to be a starter, though.
What's your feelings on Patrick Queen? I promise I'll let you go.
I like Patrick Queen. I thought he had a very, you know, slow start, but a good year for the Steelers. And he solidified something they've been chasing for quite some time, which is that inside linebacking combination. I think Landon Roberts and him are a very good 1-2 punch. They've been searching ever since the injury to Shazier. They tried Devin Bush. They've tried a number of people. And finally, it seems like, you know, that free agent signing helped them a lot. So I don't look at that position the way I did just, you know, a few years ago.
And you mentioned signing, which brings up another question. What about this tight end that the Steelers just signed for 1 year?
Yeah.
You know anything
Parnum,
about him?
Donald Parnum. I mean, he was on the practice squad, I think, all last year. He's had some success. You know, to me, they better just concentrate on Freiermuth first and foremost. They need him to be a 75 to 85 catch guy, if possible. And so, I mean, the guy was brought in. I don't know what his role would be, to be honest. I don't know how often they would utilize him. But we'll see.
Well,
it's
Bob,
it's not a big splash, I can tell you that. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
And like I said before, sir, you, if there is a Mount Rushmore, you should be the fourth guy up there.
There are too many others ahead of me for that. I would not even – I just go there and watch those guys. You know, I've been fortunate to call all friends, starting with Bob Prince back in the day. That guy helped me out a lot. I learned a lot from Bob Prince. But you just go through the list of people you get fortunate enough to know in Pittsburgh. And I think we in Pittsburgh are very lucky. We've had a lot of tremendous broadcasters come through who've had tremendous careers and left indelible impressions upon all of us. Matt in Baldwin is up here now. What's up, Matt? How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Good.
So thanks. I was just calling in kind of basically kind of reiterating some points, but I've heard people talk about the Mount Rushmore and whatnot. I was raised, my grandfather, you know, Pittsburgh through and through, never had a choice. But, you know, you just look at the people in the community that's represented, like Myron Cope, Bob Prince, Mike Lang, Bill Hillgrove, you know, even dating back, you know, Joe Tucker, who did the Pens and Steelers.
Right. Don't forget Jack Fleming either. Jack Fleming was good at it, too.
Right. And, I mean, the list goes on and on. You know, you got Punch, Dick Groat, you know, Brownie.
Manny Fritteri, all of them, right. I mean, it's been a succession plan of great people have come along and done a good job.
And, you know, you're in there as well. It's just, you know, I think it's a testament not only, but I think we're in a really unique pocket here in the country in Pittsburgh that the broadcasters and the people that, you know, bring the news to us and whatnot understand the city and the city understands them and the respect is there. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it just builds that history and just calling in, you know, Mike Lang, losing him, we lost, is it Joe Burnett as well?
John Burnett, yeah.
Like John Burnett,
John was,
you know,
a tremendous person. I wish everyone had a chance to know him the way I knew him and the way so many of us knew him. He was a great personality kind of guy, you know, always interested, engaging. Just, I can't say enough about him, and it's sad what happened to him because he is he's probably a victim of CTE. He played linebacker at Tennessee and suffered a lot of concussions back in his day. And I think ultimately right. That's what led to what we saw here, so sadly.
And I mean, I was just with his son, Eric, today. He was down DJing the Polar Plunge in front of Acrisure. And like I said, it's just a really – I think we're in a really unique city where, you know, the announcers, the broadcasters will not understand Pittsburgh and the culture with it. So
no question,
I just wanted
about
to call
it.
In and say thank you to everything you do and all your colleagues as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of great colleagues, a lot of good writers in town. Thanks, Matt. I mean, not only in this station here, so many people that I've engaged with, my partner down at KDKA, Rich Walsh, and I have had a long history together. I mean, you talk about Mark Madden and his role in this city. You've talked about all the people here. There are so many great people, and everybody has a different style, and that's the beauty of it. You know, you can be successful with a lot of different styles. Let's go to Al in Uniontown. Hello, Al. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Bo?
I'm good. Thanks.
Can I tell a quick story about Mike Lang?
Yes, sir.
I believe, I don't know if it was 91-92 season or 92-93. Shaquille O'Neal was a rookie and I was living in LA and, Shaq was coming to town to play the Clippers and, a lot of the guys wanted to go and I begged my boss, can we please go to the Kings game tonight over at the Forum. It was the Kings against the Penguins. Lemieux against Gretzky. Who can beat that? And so everybody went to the Clipper game, and me and my boss, we ended up going to the hockey game. He's from New Jersey. He loves hockey. And, well, unfortunately, Lemieux and Gretzky were scratched that night. That's irrelevant. So we're going to our seats, and we're, like, in the upper level. And if anybody knows about the Forum, Paul Steigerwald would know. They didn't have boxes up there for those guys. They took like three rows of seats. The one row in front of you, you couldn't sit there. And then the second row, they took the seats out and put tables in there for them guys to set up. And then the third row, you couldn't sit right behind them. Well, I was like literally two rows behind that. And I remember Mike taking his headset off, and they were talking to Mike Lang. And I told my boss, I said, that's Mike Lang. And he said, who the hell is Mike Lang? And I explained to him later. And anyway, I knew they were in commercial and all that stuff. And I know it's rude, but I couldn't help myself. And I went up to him and I said, Mike Lang, I'm out from Uniontown. And oh my God, I love you, man. And he shook my hand and he took 15 seconds and he said, what are you doing out here? And I said, well, I live out here right now. And, that was that. I mean, I had about 15 seconds of meeting the guy.
And like I said before, you know, Al, he doesn't turn anyone away. You go up to him. I think he's, and that's a great thing to have. And I think all of us who do this should respect that. If people listen and like and want to talk to you, give them the time of day. And Mike has always done that. So thank you for the story, Al. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks,
all right,
Bob.
Man, you have a good day. All right, we're due for a break. One more segment before we turn it over to Pitt Panther pregame. Coming up, it's Pitt and Notre Dame today at 2:15. They'll get you set starting at 1:45 with Cale Berger, Curtis Aiken, and Bill Hillgrove. That's all coming up right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back as we continue here on a Saturday. It's a beautiful day. Music will get you psyched up for what should be a busy weekend of sports here in Pittsburgh. Penguins and Capitals at 3 today. Tomorrow, the Rangers come to town. Another afternoon matinee game. And today, Mike Lang will be remembered fondly by everyone there in a moving tribute that the Penguins have planned starting at 3 p.m. And then it's getting back to business. And I wonder if the Four Nations ratings, especially the final of 10.7, it was 14 million in Canada, by the way, if that would impact ratings now. It's certainly not the same product. You don't have the best players on every roster, of course, but you wonder if there's some sort of carryover. I think likely not, but you never know. All right, the Pirates are underway. As I said earlier, they're playing at Ed Smith Stadium today. You can hear this game on KDK AM against the Orioles, and they have a 2-0 lead. Stewart with a 2-run double, I think I heard you say, Joel. Is that right?
Yes, sir. DJ Stewart.
DJ the Hitmeister. 2-run double. Anyway, they brought in 33-year-old Andrew Haney on a 1-year deal for $5.25 million. I thought maybe that would open the doors to some trade that would lead to a bat. But since it's a beautiful day, and if you join me later, I was fantasizing a little bit about what maybe the Pirates could do. I know they won't, but Vladimir Guerrero, a report came out of Toronto today that they've hit a stalemate in terms of trying to get a contract done. He is soon to be a free agent at the end of this season. He's only 25 years old. He, like last year, 323 average, 30 home runs, 103 runs batted in, great OPS. He's been a 40 home run guy. You think about what that would do to the Pirates and put him at first base for the next 5 to 8 years. Yeah, it would cost you $40 to $50 million a year, whatever it would be. So what? That payroll is small enough now where if you had $50 million to it every single year, it wouldn't change all that much in terms of where they are when you look at the stacking of payrolls. Yeah, it's a lot for them, but what would the return be? What would he mean to this lineup? What would it do to help guys like Skeens and Jones? Again, I realize that this, it won't happen. I would try. I certainly would. Why wouldn't I? I know this. If they don't make any headway in Toronto and it gets near the trade deadline, people are going to want to acquire him for a situation that could be rental, you know, with no obligation to sign him beyond this year. That's something I still would be interested in if the Pirates were somehow in a wild card chase or whatever. You put him in the middle of a lineup, any lineup. Look what Bryce Harper meant to the Phillies when he was acquired, and they end up winning a world championship. So 412-928-9370 is that number to call. By the way, with the Four Nations, people are going to wonder, what does this do to the All-Star game? You'll still probably have it on certain years, but next year they go right into the Olympics in Milan, Italy. Those will be the Winter Olympics, and for the first time since 2014, NHL players will play in that competition. Then you have the World Cup in 2028, which again is designed to really take advantage of international global ratings, as it has with some of these international matchups over the years. What happens in 2027? You know, I don't know. They'll probably have to go back to the traditional All-Star game, I guess, even though these things have become old and antiquated, I think. By the way, this is the 45th anniversary of one of the biggest moments in United States history when it comes to sports, and that would be the Miracle on Ice. When Mike Ruzioni, who I believe is in town, taking part in Mario Lemieux's fantasy hockey camp, they do a great job raising money for the Lemieux Foundation. Mario and all these guys, friends of his, come in and they play hockey with anyone who wants to pay the price to get involved. And it's a great experience. Everyone I've talked to who's been a part of that has really enjoyed it. So I would expect Mario to be at the game today, something that hasn't happened since the Yager thing last year. But he likes to entertain those guys, and they'll be at that game today on a day where they honor Mike Lang. So Mary Lemieux Foundation has been outstanding. Nancy Angus, Tom Grealish, all the people involved over there, Drew, do great work raising money for neonatal care as well as cancer research, two things that have certainly hit the Lemieux family. So that'll be good to see today, and we'll see if the Penguins can get back on the schneid here. They need something going on because, quite frankly, they need to hop over a lot of teams, and the time is now. They got to go into a somewhat of a winning streak, and it won't be easy against the Capitals, the best team in the Eastern Conference, or the Rangers, a team that finds themselves very similar to the Penguins, and that expectations were bigger for them. They started the season, you might remember, with a 6-0 win over the Penguins here in Pittsburgh, and they ended up falling flat here most recently, but they still have a good hockey club, and we'll see what happens with the Penguins as they take on two good teams this weekend as they start the second half of their season. Coming up at 1:45, we're going to turn this over to Cale Berger, as well as Curtis Aiken and Bill Hillgrove for Pitt Notre Dame pregame. The Pitt Panthers are in an interesting position here. They have fallen out of, I think, the NCAA tournament bracketology. They need to get back in it, and the best way to do that is take care of wins like today against Notre Dame, which is a struggling team. They're 5-10 in ACC play. They're ranked 105 in net rankings, so you got to win those games. Pitt had lost one of those games to a 103 net ranking to Virginia at home when they lost by 20 in a blowout. Stuff like that really does hurt you, so that puts the pressure on them to win out, I would think, to be secure in their knowledge that they could be in the NCAA tournament. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. A little shout-out to Robert Morris. Andy Toole and his team have gotten things together. They're 21-8 this year, 13-5 in conference. They have a good chance of getting the NCAA tournament, probably the best chance of any local team. As they won last night. It's difficult to play bad teams. They did. They won. They survived. And we'll see if they can advance into their own tournament and then the NCAA tournament as well. But this has been a fun day, talking about things that probably will never happen, but maybe could. Daydreaming a little bit. A lot of people still have questions about the Steelers and what they may be doing with their quarterback and beyond. The first decision that I think has to be made is whether or not one of these two guys is back, and I'm still leaning toward Justin Fields, and we'll see what it means with subsequent decisions. And if you're wondering, by the way, if you can turn a franchise around in a hurry, I think the answer is yes. If you draft properly, you can do that. And I will look no further than what the Philadelphia Eagles did, you know, in this draft this year, because they had – you know, Howie Roseman has a good reputation as a GM. But you might remember last year the Eagles, and they won the Super Bowl this year, but last year they fell apart. They started real well. They lost, I think, six of their last six. Totally fell apart. They made changes. They hired Vic Fangio to run their defense. They hired Kellen Moore to be their offensive coordinator. He ends up going to New Orleans this year as their head coach. They drafted, and this is what you have to do if you're going to make things change in a hurry. You have to hit on these draft picks. They drafted Quinyon Mitchell, who's really good, and started, and it was a difference maker for them. Then, in the second round, they got Cooper DeJean, another guy who had big season and had an interception and a pick six in that Super Bowl, you might remember. They signed Zach Bond. At the time, people said, well, Zach Bond, what's he going to do? Well, he turned out to be a Pro Bowl kind of player for them. They re-signed C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You know, they signed Saquon Barkley. And when that happened, that was the biggest thing that made a difference in what they were doing, because they doubled down on their belief that you got to be a physical run team. They have a good offensive line, but Saquon Barkley gave them the foundation that they needed, where everything else takes off. That includes the pass game. That includes running with Jalen Hurts. So if you're asking yourself, can the Steelers make immediate changes to what they've been doing? Can it affect what they do this season? Well, if they draft correctly and they get guys to come in and play, and keep in mind they're going to have two new guys essentially who are from last year's draft class who did not play at all. Wide receiver Roman Wilson and then starting right tackle Troy Fautanu. Those guys are coming in too this year, and they'll hopefully make an impact. And if you get two or three more guys who can make an impact in the draft and you sign somebody, things can change in a hurry. And I think that's the way they should be approaching this, because it used to be there was a time, Joe, you may remember this, when draft picks came and they were told to sit for 3 years while they got acclimated to the NFL. This happens with quarterbacks a lot. Used to. Not anymore, right? You come in, you better play, because they have a lot invested in you.
Pretty much, and especially if you're going to be a first-round pick quarterback where, yeah, those expectations are on you right away. Not many times, you know, maybe Jordan Love, but not many times where a quarterback, a rookie quarterback, first round pick, is going to sit the entire season.
No, they just need you to play now. And if they're drafting you in the first round, there's a need. So I think that's an expectation that a lot of these guys have. Now, whether or not these guys in this class are going to be able to do that, I don't know. I'm not sold totally on Shedeur Sanders. I'm not sold on Cam Ward. I think there are holes to his game. They're talented. They're going to be drafted. We'll see what they do. But as far as the Penguins or the Steelers are concerned, I think they need to figure out what they're going to do first now this year, and then you know have an extended plan, a succession plan. Who's going to be the guy coming in here to be the franchise quarterback? That's the number one issue in all of football. It's the quarterback. Who do you have? Who do you want? Who do you? There are people out there still thinking they're going to make a signing, that if it's not one of these two guys, they may go out and sign Aaron Rodgers. They may go out and sign Sam Darnold. They may bring in others. I don't see that as a scenario that would make sense for them right now, because that would, to me, cost more money than I'm willing to spend. I'd rather take my chances with developing to another level Justin Fields. And then if it doesn't work, then I figure out a draft plan. If that means moving up in the draft, or maybe their record will be such that they could be higher than they normally are and take a quarterback. We'll see. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. I'll be back Monday with Joe, 10 a.m. A lot of stuff going on today. We got the Penguins and the Caps, of course. Tomorrow's the Penguins and the Rangers, and we'll wrap it all up on KDKA-TV as we do every Sunday night with the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. That's 11:35. And this week on the program, it's going to be Andrew Filippone joining me, Mark Caboli, as well as Jason Mackey. We have a lot to get into. We hope you join us for that. That's after the late news every Sunday night on KDKA. And then nightly, we have, appropriately called, the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Call. That's right. It's nightly. It's 10:35 to 11 on KDKA Plus, which is our sister station on TV, as well as 93.7 The Fan on most nights as we get toward baseball season. That may change because Pirate games obviously, you know, started 6. I think the 6:30 start time is still the same. Joel, are they going to do that all season long again? It used to be only for the first month or so. Now it's like all year. I think that's the case, isn't it?
It might be. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so I don't know if I like that time or not. I'm a traditional 7 o'clock guy. You know, I think people who work, 6:30 is a hard time to meet, you know, to get there on time. But apparently they've done research, and the research says that people like that start time. So we'll find out if that's going to be the way it goes. But again, most nights you can hear that show on 93.7 The Fan as well. And that's going to round it out to me. I want to remind you, which I haven't done this hour, that Fan Text Line, which is really available for all the shows that we do here, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township, southhillskia.net. Coming up, it's Cale Berger. It's going to be Bill Hillgrove. It's going to be Curtis Aiken. I don't think Josh Shapiro will be doing a game this week. Who knows? He may drop in, or someone else may. But they'll get you set for Pitt and Notre Dame. Panthers come into this one desperately needing to win out, I think. Right now, their record is 16-10. They're 7-5 overall in the AC, 7-8, I'm sorry, overall in the ACC. Notre Dame has struggled. It's a team they need to beat. They have Georgia Tech. They have NC State. They have Louisville later on the schedule. The time is now for Pitt Panthers to get into the NCAA tournament. Thank you, Joel. Appreciate it. Joel Nelson, as always, with the great work behind the glass. And thank you for joining me. I always appreciate hearing from you out there in Radio Land. And we'll see you again on Monday on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.